Well, on this Christmas Eve, tomorrow is Christmas Day. Can you imagine it? It's already upon us. Let's go back to the Bible and read about that first Christmas evening. Go with me, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse number 7, and we're going to read down through verse number 20. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, a great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at all those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was said or told unto them. Yes, Christmas is upon us. And the world around us is preparing to celebrate this greatest of all of our holidays. Sadly, some will merely celebrate it with partying. Others who have become offended at such actions will ignore this day altogether. Did you know that the Puritans in early America deliberately worked on December the 25th? And over in England in 1644, there were laws passed that made Christmas Day an official working day. You had to work onto it, or you were in trouble. Yet others will celebrate with devout religious observations. And many will celebrate by gathering together with their family. Let me ask, how will you celebrate Christmas tomorrow? May I suggest that we celebrate Christmas by following the biblical example of those of the first Christmas. They responded in three ways, which I think are good ways for us to respond and celebrate Christmas. First of all, let us celebrate by praising God for the miracle of Christmas, because Christmas is truly a miracle. We read again in verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Notice, praising God. Praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Then we drop down to verse 20, and we see how the shepherds ended that day. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Both the angels and the shepherds celebrated by praising God for this miracle. We think about this miracle because of Christmas, there can be peace. Not will be, but there can be peace between God and man. It's a choice. We read that the angel said here again, peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. By his first coming, Jesus Christ made possible peace between sinful man and a holy, upright, just, perfect God. How did he do it? Just by his birth? No, but also by his death and resurrection. The angels are greeted by the shepherd, and the first thing the shepherd had, or some of the shepherds, by these angels, and the first thing the angels had to say to them was what? Fear not. Seems to be a continuous thing coming from the angels. You see an angel, people get afraid. Fear not. You know, the last thing the shepherds really might have expected to hear from the angel were those words, fear not. Rather, mankind could have expected the words, be afraid, be fearful. Remember, humanity is in rebellion against God from all the way back in Adam and Eve. Rebellion. We have killed his prophets. We have rejected his word. We have now even crucified his son. We have told God we have no place for him in our lives, no place for him in our government, no place for him in our schools, no place for him on our planet, which he created. It would have been only right, only just, if the angels had declared, be afraid. The Almighty God whom you have rejected has come into this world and he's come to settle accounts. But no, that's not the message they brought. Rather, it was a message of peace. Don't be afraid. Peace on earth. Because of Christ's birth, we can have peace with our Creator. As Paul would later write in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the song, Peace on Earth. We sing about peace, but we wonder, where is it? One poet said it like this, peace on earth with a world at war? Or what were the angels singing for on that faraway night when the stars shone down with a glorious light of Bethlehem's town? Peace on earth, they were singing of him who was born that night to redeem from sin, who still has the power to cleanse and to heal the contrite heart, who is willing to kneel. Peace on earth amid sorrow and loss, yes, peace indeed at the foot of the cross. Peace in the world that is troubled and torn, peace in each heart where the Savior is born. Peace on earth while the nations rage and history is making its darkest page. Yes, peace on earth, for its steadfast light is burning in thousands of hearts tonight. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, there's peace. Peace between you and God. Not only that, because of Christmas, there will be, in the future, peace between men. When we come to the Christmas season, so many people pray for world peace and they think of world peace and they wonder, where's world peace? You know, Christ's first coming alone did not bring world peace. Look at the land of his nativity today. War. Violence. Think of the world. War. And nations on the brink of war. But by his second coming, by his return back to this planet, Jesus Christ will bring peace to all mankind by his reign when he rules on this world. The prophets of old foresaw such a day. The prince of prophets, Isaiah, said in chapter 2, verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, the Messiah, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Peace on earth. But when is that time of peace going to arrive? Only when he who is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns to reign upon this earth. We read in Revelation chapter 11, verses 11 through 16, that John looks up and he sees heaven opened, and he sees him coming upon a white horse, the sword of his word coming from his mouth, upon his head many crowns. He is who is the faithful and true, the just one, his robe stained with blood, and he comes back to this world, and he will establish peace. We sing, it came upon a midnight clear. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold. When with the ever-circling years come round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. The angels didn't say that peace would be automatic. Peace comes in our lives when we accept Christ as Savior, peace with God. And peace will come to this world when He who is the Prince of Peace, born that night, returns in victory. And He shall rule in peace, and war will have no place during His reign. Let us celebrate by praising God for the miracle of Christmas. Secondly, let us celebrate by proclaiming to others the message of Christmas. Look at verses 10 and 11 with me. And the angel said, he proclaims, what? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Drop down to verse number 17 about the shepherds. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. We find here that both the angels and the shepherds celebrated by proclaiming the message of Christmas. Now, what was the angel's message? The angel's message was the good news of the birth of the Savior. We bring you good tidings. We bring you good news of great joy. Well, what news about what? A Savior has been born. That's what we needed. A Savior. When I was a young man, one of the men I used to enjoy reading was a great evangelist by the name of John R. Rice. He wrote this. And this good news is that a Savior is born. The angel did not announce that this baby will change the course of human history. That is incidental. He does not mention that art, the literature, the education, the benevolence of the whole world will be colored, influenced, and formed by the same baby Jesus. The angel did not mention that slavery will tend to disappear, that monogamy will take the place of plural wives, that schools, hospitals, orphanages, and relief programs around the world will flow forth from the influence of the child born that day in Bethlehem. Oh no, all these are incidental to the one great end. The Lord Jesus came to be a Savior. Is he your Savior? That's the joy of Christmas. A Savior was born. We who were lost, we who were in rebellion, we who are on our way to a Christless, godless eternity, have a Savior. And we praise God for a Savior. The angel's message was about a Savior. What's man's message? Well, man's message is the good news of the coming of the Savior and his birth. But more than that, because he's the Savior, it's the message about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Believers are now to bring good tidings of great joy to all a lost world. And may I say, the angels won't do our job. We must do our job. Good tidings. That's what the gospel is. Our English word gospel is actually just slightly changed from the old Anglo-Saxon word godspell, which means good tidings. The Apostle Paul put it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brother, and I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, the good tidings, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which Also, you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Not just his birth, but he was born to die, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the message we share. The songwriter said, one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Let us praise God. Let us share the message of Christmas. Thirdly, let us celebrate Christmas by pondering. By pondering within ourselves the meaning of Christmas. Look, please, with me at verse number 19. But Mary, oh, precious Mary, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Ponder. The word literally in Greek means to bring together, comparing, weighing facts. It means to reflect upon, placing together for comparison. She weighed all these facts. She compared them, looking at them. She pondered them in her heart. Let us ponder the meaning of Christmas. Let us ponder the truth of the incarnation. Big word, but it means that God became man. Isaiah said in chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. John would say the Word was made flesh and dwelt or pitched his tent among us. God became man. A more modern classic was written by Mark Lowry and Buddy Green. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Moses would ask, Lord, who shall I say sends me? And God said, I am that I am. The great I am took upon himself human flesh and was laid in a cattle feeding trough. Let us ponder the truth of the incarnation. Let us ponder the depth of God's love. By becoming man without losing any of his attributes of deity, God sat where we sit. He joined himself to mankind, not for a moment, not for 33 and a half years, but for all eternity. He is the God-man now. The story is told in the land of Persia. There once ruled a wise and a beloved Shah who, unusual for a ruler, really greatly loved his people. And he desired the best for them. One day, he actually disguised himself as a poor man. And he went out into the streets. And he decided to visit the public bath houses. There at the public baths, the water was heated down in a deep down below in a furnace in the cellar. So the Shah actually, after being in the bathhouse, made his way down into that dark place, and he sat with the man who was there tending the fire. The two men shared the coarse food of the poor man there, and the Shah befriended him in his loneliness. The worker became attached to this man who came where he was. And day after day, the Shah pretended to be a poor man, dressed as a poor man, and came there and went down and was with that man. One day, the Shah revealed his true identity. And of course, he expected this poor man to say, "You're the Shah. Would you give me this? Would you give me that?" Instead, to the wonder of the ruler, this man looked upon his leader's face, and with love and honor in his voice says, You left your palace? You left your glory, your riches, and you came to sit with me in this dark place, to eat my coarse food, to care about what happens to me. On others, you can give your rich gifts. You've given me yourself." Jesus came not only to give us so many rich things, not only to give us eternal life, he gave us himself. That's love. That's love. And let us ponder then our personal response to Christ's coming. I look out and I see those who, as far as I know, have each accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. As saved individuals who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, how do we see Christmas? As just another day off from work? As merely a chance to spend time with friends and family, as precious as that is? As an opportunity to express love by giving? Or do we see it as a day that represents God's supreme love and self-sacrifice for us personally? Do we stop and say, "God, I love you. Thank you. Thank you." Do we take this day and pause and read the Christmas story and pray and tell God just how much we love him for his love for us? I hope so. Maybe there is one here without Christ, or maybe one will later listen to this message on the internet or by CD, and you don't know Christ as your Savior. How are you going to respond to this love of God? God has given us the most wonderful gift he possibly could, himself. And with the acceptance of that gift comes eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, trusts, puts his faith in him, should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. But you know, the most thoughtful, the most expensive, the most loving gift is worthless to us unless we accept it ourselves. Have you ever personally received God's precious Christmas gift to you? Jesus Christ and eternal life. If not, won't you just bow your heart before God right now and tell him you know you're a sinner, but you know he died for you, and ask him to be your Savior. And he will. and he'll change your life and your eternity. Oh, let us celebrate Christmas by praising God, by proclaiming this message to others, and by pondering it ourselves. And may Jesus Christ be real, near, and dear to each of us as we celebrate his birth. Let's stand. Our Father, thank you. Tomorrow is Christmas. May we celebrate it, understanding its true meaning, and give you the glory. Thank you. Thank you for your love. May we love you fully back in return. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with one more song for the Christmas season. Silent Night.